Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts.
Earplay presents I Never Sang for My Father by Robert Anderson. It was Anderson's All Summer Long, produced in 1952, that first established him as a writer of power and subtlety. And with his next play, Tea and Sympathy, produced by the Playwrights Company in New York, Anderson was recognized as an important new playwright. There followed such titles as Silent Night, Lonely Night, You Know I Can't Hear You When the Water's Running, and in 1968, I Never Sang for My Father. Earplay presents I Never Sang for My Father by Robert Anderson.
Pennsylvania Station, New York City. My mother and father were returning from Florida. They were bored in Florida, but they'd been going each winter since my father's retirement. If they didn't go, my father came down with pneumonia, and my mother's joints stiffened cruelly with arthritis. My mother used to say, "Old age takes courage." She had it. I loved my mother. I wanted to love my father.
Four bags. I don't see any. We have one at the apartment with us. The cab lost that.
Hello, Dad.
Well, Gene, as I live and breathe, this is a surprise.
I wrote you I'd be here.
Did you? Well, my mind's a sieve. Am I glad to see you? They've lost all our bags.
Well, I'm sure they're somewhere, Dad.
No, I've looked. It's damnable.
There's one. Porter, That one there. Where's Mother, Dad?
Why? Oh, she's still in the train. Now, wait a minute. Are you sure that's ours?
Yes, Dad. Just relax now.
Damn cough. You know, the wind down there never stops blowing. I don't know why we go there every year.
I brought a wheelchair for Mother.
Oh, well, that's very considerate of you.
I'll go get her.
I didn't hear you.
I said I'll go get her.
Yes, you do that. I've got these damn bags to take care of.
There's one, the gray one.
That's not ours. Mine is brown.
The old one was brown, Dad. I gave you a new one this year for the trip.
Now, Gene, I've had the bag in Florida all winter. I should know my own bag.
Dad, please, let me handle this.
You go get your mother. I'll take care of the bags.
Oh, my precious. It's so good to see you.
You look wonderful, Mother.
What?
You look wonderful.
Oh, a little rouge. But your father, did you see him out there?
Yes.
That cough. He's sick and he won't do a thing about it.
I'll get him to see a doctor, Mother. Don't you worry.
Poor man. He's skin and bones. And he's getting so forgetful. This morning he woke up here on the train and asked where we were going.
Well, Mother, he's almost 80.
And he's a remarkable man. Stands so straight, like a brigadier general. Everyone down there always comments on how handsome your father is.
I've got a wheelchair on the platform, Mother. Shall we go?
Oh, my precious. What would we ever do without you?
My father's house was in a suburb of New York City, up in Westchester County. It had been a quiet town, with elms and chestnut trees, lawns and old sprawling houses with a certain nondescript elegance. My father had been mayor of this town a long time ago. Dad?
I'm in the garage, Gene. Well, Murphy did bring the battery back. You can't count on anyone these days. Where's your mother?
Walking in her garden.
What?
She's walking in her garden.
You know, Gene, I don't mean to criticize, but I've noticed that you're mumbling a great deal. It's getting difficult to understand you.
I think you need a hearing aid, Dad.
I can hear perfectly well if people would only enunciate. Where'd you say your mother is?
In her garden.
No, she's missed you a lot. But why don't you stay for supper?
I was planning to take you to Schraff's.
Hooray for our side! Oh, Gene, just a minute. We received your four letters from California.
I'm sorry I didn't write more often.
Well, we do look forward to your letters, but this girl, this woman you mentioned several times.
Yes?
You seem to see a lot of her.
Yes, I did.
Huh? Well, Carol's been dead now. What is it?
About a year.
There's no reason why you shouldn't go out with other women. I was in California with the senator. It's a perfectly beautiful place. I can understand your enthusiasm for it.
I liked it a lot.
But listen, Gene, if you were to go out there, I mean to live, it would kill your mother.
Dad.
Oh, God, you're her whole life. Oh, don't you think I know that? Oh, she likes your sister, but you are her life.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Garrison. Welcome back.
Greetings and salutations, Mary. Do you wait on this table?
Yes.
Hooray for our side. Uh-oh. Is there a draft here? I like to keep Mrs. Garrison out of drafts.
Oh, don't worry about me.
I believe you know our son Gene, Mary.
Oh, yes.
Good evening, Mary.
We've missed you, Mary. We had a girl down there in Florida. No sense of humor. Couldn't get a smile out of her.
Well, we'll have some jokes. Dry martini.
You twist my arm. What's your pleasure, Gene? Duvernay?
I'll have a martini, too, please.
But not 6-1.
Yes, the same.
Well.
Mother?
No, nothing. My joints would be stiff as a board.
You said you'd be stiff?
Oh, my joints.
Wouldn't want you stiff. I guess that'll be all, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ah, she's very lively. I like to get a rise out of them. If they kid with me, I give them a good tip. If they don't, straight 10%.
Father, you should go over and say hello to Bert Edwards. Jean and I stopped on the way in.
Why?
While we were gone, he lost his wife.
Where'd he lose her?
Tom.
Just trying to get a rise.
We should have him in. But I can't have anyone in. Your father won't play bridge or do anything. He just wants to watch westerns and tell the story of his life.
Now, wait a minute.
You embarrass me so.
People seem to be interested.
Well, I admit it's a remarkable story, your life. But other people have had miserable childhoods, and they don't keep going over and over them.
Your mother wants me to play cards down there in Florida with a lot of women that just want to gossip and chatter about styles. That's why I won't play.
You won't play because you can't follow the play of the cards anymore.
I beg to disagree.
Please, don't fight.
He keeps telling everyone how he wouldn't allow his father to come to his mother's funeral.
Are you implying that I should have let him?
I'm not saying...
He'd run out on us when we were kids.
Imagine going around telling everyone he shoved his father off the funeral coach.
And I'd do it again. I was only 10, but I'd do it again. We hadn't seen him in over a year, living the four of us in a miserable two-room tenement. Suddenly he shows up, weeping and begging and drunk as usual. And I shoved him off. Never saw him again till some years later when he was dying in Bellevue of drink.
What looks good to you tonight, Father?
I have not finished. I went down to see him to ask him if he wanted anything. He said he wanted an orange. I sent him in a half dozen oranges. I would have sent more, except I knew he was dying, and there's no use just giving a lot of oranges to the nurses. The next morning, he died.
Well, look at your menu now, Father. What are you going to eat? Gene, shut the door so we can talk a little. I don't know how he can sit through hour after hour of those westerns.
I think he always wished he'd been a cowboy.
Take him out and shoot him.
Down in Florida, there's only one TV in the lounge. And he rode herd on it. And then he'd fall asleep in 3 minutes. Still, he's a remarkable man.
Good old Mom.
Well, he is. Not many boys have fathers they can be as proud of.
I know, Mom. I'm very proud of him.
Everything he's done for his family. What a shame that children can't see their parents when they're young and courting and in love. All they see them being is tolerant, sympathetic, forbearing, and devoted. All the qualities that seem so unimportant to young people.
You should be in bed. You've had a big day.
I took another nitro. Sit here. Now, tell me about California.
Well, I liked it. I loved it.
And the girl. You know, the woman with the children, the doctor. You loved her too, didn't you?
I think so.
I know when Carol died, you said you'd never marry again. But I hoped you would. I know it's hard, but I think Carol would have wanted you to.
I don't know.
Your sabbatical is over soon, isn't it?
A few more months.
I think you want to move to California and get a job teaching there and marry this woman.
Yes, I think I do.
I think it would be the best thing in the world for you to get away and marry this girl.
Thanks, Mom.
I'd feel just terrible if you didn't go because of me. There are still planes and trains and telephones. And Alice comes from Chicago once a year and brings the children. Of course, you know your father will object to your going away.
He already has. He said it would kill you.
How sad. Why can't he say it would kill him? He doesn't think it would hold you or mean anything to you. Go to California. Your father and I can take care of each other. I'll remember where he put his checkbook, and he'll make the beds, which is really the only thing I'm not supposed to do. And for your information, I have my old lady's home all picked out.
Oh, come on.
That's what I want. Now, don't mention this business to your father tonight. He's not well, and it's been such a nice day.
Okay.
Now I must go to bed. Good night, my precious. Tell your father I've gone to bed. And don't let him keep you there till all hours watching television.
Dad.
Hmm? None. Oh, Gene.
I have to go now, Dad.
Oh, we see so little of you.
I'm up at least once a week.
Oh, I'm not complaining. There just doesn't seem to be any time. When you are here, your mother's doing all the talking. Well, all's lost, all's spent when our desires we get without content. 'Tis better to be that which we destroy than by destruction dwell in doubtful joy.
Well, we'll get a chance to talk, Dad.
No hat or coat?
No.
It's still chilly. You should be careful.
Well, good night, Dad. Now, I'll call Lamar to see if you've seen a doctor about that cough.
Well, I may and I may not. I've looked after myself pretty well for almost 80 years. I guess I can judge if I need to see a doctor or not.
Dad, you're worrying Mother to death about that cough.
All right, all right. I'll be a good soldier. I can't tell you what a comfort it is knowing that you're just down in the city. Don't know what we'd do without you.
Good night, Dad.
Drive carefully. I noticed you were inclined to push it a little. Make a full stop going out the driveway. Then turn right.
Yes, Dad.
Take your first left and your second right. Then turn left under the bridge.
Take your first left and your second right, but do not go as far as California, because it would kill your mother. I hated him for that, for sending up warning flares that if I left, it would not be with his blessing, but with a curse. As he had banished my sister Alice years ago for marrying a Jew. And yet, when I looked at those two old people, almost totally dependent on me for their happiness. Hello?
Gene?
Yes, Dad?
Your mother's in the hospital.
Dr.
downstairs in the kitchen, and suddenly I heard your mother scream. Tom! Tom! I ran up the stairs, and there she was, stretched out on the floor of the bedroom. Nitro, nitro, that's all she could say. She'd had these attacks before, but I knew at once this was something different. I gave her the pills and called the doctor. This is an emergency. Come quick. And here we are.
Dad, take it easy, Dad. Come on, let's go over here and sit down in the sunroom.
Oh. She had such a good time in Florida. I don't understand it. She ate too fast, you know. And the doctor said she should do everything more slowly.
There's no explaining these things, Dad.
I suppose I could have seen more of her down there. But she just wanted to play bridge. And I wouldn't play bridge because the ladies just chattered all the time about styles and shops. I met some very interesting people. Oh, some of them were bores who just wanted to tell you the story of their lives. But there were others. You know, I met a man from Waterbury, Connecticut. Used to know Helen Moffat. I've told you about Helen Moffat, haven't I?
No, Dad, I don't think so.
Well, when I was a kid, when the clouds hung low and dark, my grandfather would take me up there sometimes on Sundays. A city slum kid in that lovely countryside. And Helen and I, oh, it never amounted to much. We'd go to church, then we'd take a walk, sit in a hammock or under an apple tree. I think she liked that. But I didn't have any money, and I couldn't get up there often. Her mother didn't like me. That young man will end up the same way as his father, and that scared her off. But this man in Florida, I've got his name somewhere in my notebook here, he said Helen had never married. She'd been in love when she was young and never married. Well, I can't find it. No matter. Someday we might drive out there, you and I, huh? Look him up. Helen's dead now, but it's nice country. I was a kid with nothing, living with my grandfather. Maybe if she hadn't been so far away. Oh, well, that's water over the dam.
Yes, Dad. Why don't we go in and see Mother now?
Oh, yes. Yes, let's do that. If she's not sleeping, they've had her sleeping most of the day. Well, then after that, maybe we could go to Rotary for dinner. I've been away for 3 months. They don't like that very much. If you've been away too often, they drop you or fine you.
Dr. Warner.
Excuse me, nurse. I've forgotten your name. My mind is like a sieve.
Halsey.
Miss Halsey, my son, Gene.
How do you do?
This young lady's been taking wonderful care of your mother. It turns out she's been in Florida, right near where we go.
Is there any word on my mother?
The doctor was just here. He says things look much better.
Hooray for our side!
What?
Hello, Mother.
Oh, Gene. Look where I ended up. Makes me so mad.
Take it easy, Mother.
I was feeling so well. All the ladies down in Florida said I'd never looked so well.
You've had these before, Mother. Easy does it.
You know, I came without anything. I've still got my stockings on.
Well, it all happened pretty quick, my darling.
I'll need some things.
Your wish is our command.
Toothbrush, some night clothes. I'm still in my slip.
Okay. Now take it easy.
I hate being seen this way.
Oh, we think you look beautiful.
We're going to have to run along, Mother. Now, you should be sleeping.
That's all I've been doing.
Now, I called Alice, and she said she'd come, but I told her I didn't think she had to.
Of course not.
Well, we must leave you so you can rest. Now, good night. Sleep well.
Good night, my precious.
Well, my dearest, remember what we used to say to the children. When you wake up, may your cheeks be as red as roses and your eyes as bright as diamonds.
Just you take care of yourself. Get the laundry ready for Annie tomorrow.
Your wish is our command.
I put your dirty shirts from Florida in the hamper in the guest bathroom. My things
are... Okay, now, Mother, we'll find them. Come on, Dad.
Thanks for coming. Don't bother to come tomorrow. Father will keep in touch with you.
We'll see. Now, good night.
I went to Rotary with my father, watched him kid and joke with his friends. Then back home, I sat with him and watched television. He wanted me to spend the night, but I didn't. He slept off and on in front of the television set, and finally I went home. The next morning, around 9:30, my mother died. By the time I drove out from the city, my father had left the hospital and gone to the undertaker's.
Now, the burial is to be where, Tom?
The upper burial ground. I've got the deed at home in my file cabinet, if I can ever find it. For years, I meant to clean out that file cabinet.
Dad.
Oh, Jean.
Dad.
I'll just leave you alone for a few minutes.
No. Let's get on with this. The deed for the cemetery. Now, what next?
An obituary. Perhaps you'd like to prepare something, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Jean here was very close to his mother.
Yes, I'll write something.
If you could get it to me by...
She was my inspiration. When I met her, the clouds hung low and dark. I was going to night school, studying shorthand and typing and elocution, and working in a lumber yard in the daytime, wearing a cutaway coat, if you please. Someone at the church had given me. My mother had died and my father had deserted us. He did not know the meaning of the word quit. I said that some years ago when the schoolboys of Old Harlem gave me an award. You were there, Jean.
Yes.
Obstructions, yes, but go through them or over them, but never around them. Teddy Roosevelt said that. Early in life, I developed a will of iron. Any young man in this country who has a sound mind and a sound body, who has set himself an objective, can achieve anything he wants within reason.
I'll write something.
About what?
About Mother, for an obituary.
Oh, yes.
Now, Tom, the only thing that's left is the most difficult. We have to choose a coffin.
Oh, Lord. Do we have to do that now?
It's easier now, Tom.
Well, I want the best. That's one thing. I want the best.
Just let me switch on the light here. There.
Oh, dear. Do I have to look at all these? Jean.
It's the only way, Tom. The best way is just to let you wander around alone or with Jean. The prices are all marked on the cards inside the caskets.
$1,600. For the casket?
That includes everything, Tom. All our services in one car for the mourners. Other cars are extra.
Well, Jean will have your car, so we shouldn't need another. Anybody else wants to come, let them drive their own car. Oh, dear. Jean.
Yes, Dad.
What do you think?
I don't think it makes much difference, Dad.
What accounts for the variation in prices?
Material. Workmanship. The finish inside.
This one. Is this for a child?
Yes.
My mother would have fit in then. She was just a little bit of a thing. Died when I was 10. I don't remember much about the funeral, except my father. He'd run out on us, but he came back when she died. I wouldn't let him come near the cemetery. Oh, well.
Dad, this one over here, why don't we settle for this one?
What? Well, let's see. Yes. Yeah. I don't like the browns and the blacks. The gray seems less somber. 1400.
Jean, I assume your sister will be coming.
Yes, she arrives this evening. Shall we go, Dad?
What? Oh, yes. I was just looking at this Charles. She was just a little bit of a thing.
See you.
I'm sorry you had to do it all alone.
Oh, it's just good to get out of the house. Hey, let's have a drink before we go.
I tell you, Alice, I'm so tired of hearing about when the clouds hung low and dark. I'm so tired of people coming up to me and saying, "Your dad's a remarkable man." Nobody talks about Mother. You'd think he died. I want to say to them, my mother was a remarkable woman. You don't know my father. You only know the man in the newspapers. You don't know the bite of his sarcasm the night he banished my sister for marrying a Jew.
Gene.
And that didn't get into the papers, did it?
Gene.
Yeah, what a night that was. Mother running from the room sobbing and you shouting at him and storming out. And the two of us, father and son, left to finish dinner in silence. Afterwards, I threw up.
I shouted and you threw up. That was pretty much the pattern.
I wanted to say to him all day, for Christ's sake, Dad, will you for once shut up about your miserable childhood and say something about Mother? But I can't say that. He's an old man. And my father. And his wife has died. He may be experiencing something somewhere I know nothing about.
All the way coming here, I felt guilty about Mother. I should have seen her more often, invited her to Chicago more often, brought the kids more often. Instead, I sent flowers.
Well, I guess that's the inevitable feeling when a person dies. I felt the same way.
You made her life.
A son is not supposed to make his mother's life. Oh, I love Mother, but to be depended on to make her life. Dad says, he boasts, he never knew the meaning of the word quit. Well, he quit on her. And I was just there. Still, wait till you see him. There's something that comes through, so. That old tiger, something that reaches you and makes you want to cry. He'll probably be asleep when we get home in front of the television. You'll see. The old man. The father. But then he wakes up and becomes Tom Garrison, and I'm in trouble.
You know, Gene, we'll have to start thinking about Dad. About what we're going to do.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Only a dozen or so people were at my mother's funeral. Most of her friends were dead or had moved to other cities, but just couldn't make it.
Margaret Garrison was a loving wife and a kind and generous mother, and a public-spirited member of the community. The many people who were touched by her goodness.
The hundreds of children who had listened to her tell stories year after year on Christmas Eve were all gone or had forgotten. Perhaps some of them who were still in the neighborhood looked up from the evening papers to say, "I see Mrs. Garrison died. She was nice." Well, she was an old lady.
Well, Jean, what are we going to do?
Mother always said to put her in an old people's home. She had one all picked out.
I think you should go ahead and get married and move to California. But I might as well get this off my chest. It would be murder if he came to live with us. In the first place, he wouldn't do it feeling as he does about Sydney, and the kids can't stand the way he tells them how to do everything.
Well, I think you're right. That would never work. I can't tell you what it does to me to see someone like that. A man who is distinguished, remarkable, just become a nuisance.
I know I sound hard, but he's had his life. And as long as we can be assured that he's taken care of, oh, I'll feel some guilt, and you maybe more, but my responsibility is to my husband and my children.
Yes, that's your responsibility.
And your responsibility is to yourself, to get married again. To get away from memories of Carol. Have you called California?
No.
Jean, my friend, my brother, get out of here.
We always remember the terrible things about Dad. I've been trying to remember some of the other things. How much he did do for us.
I'm doing a lot for my kids. I don't expect them to pay me back at the other end. I'm sure we can find a full-time housekeeper. He can afford it.
He'd never agree.
It's that or finding a home. Also, we might as well face it. His mind's going. Sooner or later, we'll have to think about powers of attorney. Perhaps committing him to an institution.
God, it's all so ugly.
A great deal of life is ugly. He kicked me out for marrying Sydney. He said he never wanted to see me again. He broke Mother's heart over that for years. He was mean, unloving. He beat the hell out of you when you were a kid. You've hated and feared him all your adult life.
Still, he's my father. And a man. And what's happening to him appalls me as a man.
I'm going to talk to him tomorrow about a housekeeper. Just let me handle it. He can visit us and we can take turns coming to visit him. I'll do the dirty work. Only when he turns to you, don't give in.
I can't tell you how ashamed I feel not being able to say, "Papa, come live with me. I love you, Papa, and I want to take care of you." I need to love him. I've always wanted to love him.
Paperwork.
Oh, Alice, I've written out receipts for you to sign for the jewelry your mother left you. Jean here has already signed his. It may not be necessary, but as executor, I'll be held responsible for these things.
All right.
Right there. Thank you.
Dad, Jean and I would like to talk to you.
Alice,
yes,
later.
All right, but first I'd like to read you this letter I've written to Harry Hall. He and I used to play golf out in New Jersey, and he wrote a very nice letter about your mother. It'll only take a minute, if I can read my own shorthand. Dear Harry, how thoughtful of you to write me on the occasion of Margaret's death. It was quite a blow. As you know, she was my inspiration and had been ever since that day 55 years ago when I met her. When the clouds hung low and dark for me. At that time, I was supporting my younger brother and my sister and my aged grandfather in a two-room flat going to work every day in a lumber mill. Providence, which has always guided me, prompted me to take a night course in shorthand and typing, and also prompted me to go to the Underwood Typewriting Company seeking a position as stenographer. They sent me, God be praised, to the office of T.J. Parks, and a job that started at $5 a week ended in 1959 when I retired at $75,000 a year. That's as far as I've gotten at the moment.
Dad, I don't think financial matters are appropriate in answering a letter of condolence.
Oh? But it's true. You see, it follows. I'm saying she was my inspiration, and it seems entirely appropriate to explain that.
Well, it's your letter, Dad.
Dad, I'm leaving tomorrow, and...
Well, Alice, I'm grateful you came. Your mother would have appreciated it. She was very fond of you.
I think we ought to talk over what your plans are.
My plans? I have many letters to answer.
Do you plan to keep the house?
Of course. All my things are here.
I worry leaving you in this house alone, Dad.
Oh, I'm perfectly all right. Don't you worry about me, either of you. Why, for the last year, since your mother's first attack, I've been getting the breakfast, making the beds, using a desk rag. And the laundress comes in once a week and cleans up for me. And Jean here, if Jean will keep an eye on me, drop in once or twice a week.
That's the point.
Alice.
We think you should hire a full-time housekeeper, Dad, to live here.
Alone here with me? That wouldn't be very proper, would it?
Nevertheless, Dad, we would still like to get you a full-time housekeeper.
What do you mean you would like to get? I've hired and fired thousands of people in my day. I don't need anyone getting someone for me.
Will you do it yourself, then?
No, I've told you no. Since I was 8 years old, I've taken care of myself. What do you know about it? You were given everything on a platter. At an age when you two were swinging on those trees out there, breaking the branches. I was selling newspapers 5 hours a day, and at night, dancing a jig in a saloon for pennies. You're trying to tell me I can't take care of myself. If I want a housekeeper, and I don't, I'll hire one. I've hired and fired thousands of people in my time. Well, when I was vice president of Colonial Brass at $75,000 a year, 2,000 people. How many people have you hired, Gene? You teach. Well, all right, that's your business, if that's what you want to do. But don't talk to me about hiring and firing.
Dad, you might fall down.
Alice, please.
Why fall down? There's nothing wrong with my balance. Now, I appreciate your concern, but I'm perfectly able to carry on by myself. As I said, with Jean's help from time to time, I imagine we could have dinner once in a while. Couldn't we, Jean?
Sure, Dad.
Give us some time together at last. Get to know each other.
Jean wants to get married.
Alice.
What?
Jean wants to move to California and get married.
Alice, shut up.
I can't. I can't help it. You've never faced up to him. You'd let him ruin your life.
I can take care of my own life.
You can't.
Children, children. I have no desire to interfere with either of your lives. I took care of myself at 8. I can take care of myself at 80.
I'm going to hang around, Dad.
There's no need to.
I'll move in here, at least until you're feeling better.
I don't want to ruin your life.
I didn't say that.
I've long gotten the impression that my only function in this family has been to supply the money to supply the funds for your education.
Dad, stop it.
As far as I'm concerned, this conversation has ended. Alice, we've gotten along very well for some years now without your attention.
Dad.
You sent me away. Don't you forget that.
You chose to live your own life. Well, we won't keep you now.
Dad, don't.
I was competent to go into the city year after year to earn money for your clothes, your food, the roof over your head. Am I now incompetent? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Dad, wait a minute. For God's sakes, Alice.
I'm only trying to get a practical matter accomplished.
You don't have to destroy him in the process.
I wasn't discussing his competence, though that will be a matter for discussion soon.
Look, Alice, just leave it now, please. I'm doing this because I want to.
You're doing it because you can't help yourself. Didn't you see yourself there when he started to rage? Didn't you feel yourself shrink?
I shrank at the ugliness of what was happening.
You're staying because you can't stand his wrath the day you say, Dad, I'm leaving. He'll call you ungrateful.
What do you want us to do? Shall we get out a white paper? Let it be known that Alice and Jean have done all that we could to make the old man happy in his old age, without inconveniencing ourselves, of course. And he has refused our help. So if he falls and hits his head and lies there until he rots, it's not our fault. Is that it?
The difference between us is that I accept the inevitable sadness of this world without an acute sense of personal guilt. You don't. I don't think anyone expects either of us to ruin our lives for this unreasonable old man.
Alice, let's not go on discussing it. Now, I know what I'm going to do. I just cannot do anything else. Now, maybe there isn't the same thing between a mother and daughter. But the old man in me feels something very deep. Wants to extend some kind of mercy to that old man. I never had a father. I ran away from him. He ran away from me. Maybe he's right. Maybe it's time we got to know each other.
I find that sentimental crap. What do you think you'll find? You hope to find love. Couldn't you tell from what he just said what you're going to find? He may not think it in his head or feel it in his heart, but you are his enemy.
It sounds like the textbooks, Alice.
He wants your balls, and he's had them. Jean, don't go. Please. I'm sorry. I wanted to shock you. When has he ever regarded you as a man? An equal, a male? When you were a Marine. And you did that for him. You didn't want to be a Marine. Now, Papa, will you love me? When was he ever proud of the things you do, the things you value? When did he ever mention your teaching or your writing except in scorn?
I just do not want to let my father die a stranger.
You're looking for something that isn't there, Jean. You're looking for a mother's love and a father. Mothers are soft and yielding. Fathers are hard and rough to teach us the way of the world. Which is rough, which is mean, which is selfish and prejudiced.
All right, that's your definition. Because of what he did to you, you're entitled to it.
I've always been very grateful to him for what he did. He taught me a marvelous lesson and has made me able to face a lot. And there's been a lot to face, and I'm grateful as hell to him. Because if I couldn't get the understanding and compassion from a father, who could I expect it from? Who in the world if not from a father? So I learned, and I didn't expect it. And I found very little, and so I'm grateful to him. I'm grateful as hell to him.
Alice. Oh, Alice. Look, I'll stay for a while, at least, for whatever reasons. Let's not argue anymore.
And Peggy, don't lose her, Jean. Maybe I'm still fouled up about myself, but I think I've spoken to you the truth about you. The image of the eternally bereaved husband, forgive me, the dutiful son. They're very appealing and seductive, but they're not living. Good night, Jean.
Good night.
Suddenly I miss Mother so.
I started living with my father. I helped him answer letters of condolence. I sat and watched television with him, listened to his stories. Then one evening, near the end of the first week, I went to his bedroom to say goodnight. He was in his pajamas and bathrobe, sitting at a table, going through a box of mementos.
Oh, Jean, come in.
Ready to be tucked in?
Yeah, I was just looking through this box of things. Pictures, letters, everything but the kitchen sink. I think you've seen most of the pictures. Family. My brother. My sister.
Oh, yes. I remember these.
She looked like my mother.
You know, Dad,
I don't think I've ever seen a picture of your father. Do you have a picture of him?
Yes.
May I see it? He's just a boy.
That was taken about the time he was married.
The way you talked about him, I always thought of him
as... Oh, he was a fine-looking man before he started to drink. Big, square, high color. But he became my mortal enemy. Did I ever show you this note? Careful. When I set up a home for my brother and sister, one day we were all out, and he came around and ripped up all my sister's clothes and shoes. Drunk, of course. A few days later, he came around to apologize and ask for money, and I threw him out. And the next day, he left that note. You are welcome to your burden.
And you kept it?
Yes. Never saw him again until many years later when he was dying in Bellevue. Someone got word to me, and I went down and asked him if there's anything I could do. Said he'd like some fruit. So I sent him in a few oranges. He died the next day.
There must have been something there to love, to understand.
Oh, and my father? Say, do you remember this card you sent me? To the best dad in the world on Father's Day. That was in 1946. Oh, I appreciate that, Gene. That's a lovely tribute. And I think I have all your Father's Day cards here. You know, I didn't want children, coming from the background I did. But your mother finally persuaded me. She said they'd be a comfort in our old age. And you are, Gene.
Well.
Here's a program of yours from college, some glee club concert. Do you still sing?
Oh, not in years.
Oh, that's too bad. You had a good voice. I remember your mother would sit down at the piano hour after hour, and I'd be up here at my desk, and I'd hear you singing.
You always wanted me to sing "When I Grow Too Old to Dream."
Did I? I don't remember your ever singing that. You always seemed to be just finishing when I came into the room. Did you used to sing that for me?
No, but you always asked me to sing it for you.
Well, I enjoyed sitting up here and listening. That's my mother.
Yes, I've seen that, Dad. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. She was 25 when that was taken. Died the next year. I carried it in my wallet for years. Then I felt I was wearing it out, so I put it away. Just a little bit of a thing. Barely so high.
Dad. Oh, Dad.
I always thought I'd go first. I'm sorry. It just comes over me. It'll pass.
Well, don't try, Dad. Let it come. Believe me, it's best.
Oh, it's just that... No, I'll be all right.
It's rough, Dad. It's bound to be.
It'll pass.
Can I help you put these things away?
No. No, I can. Well, if you would, Gene.
Dad.
Yeah?
You remember I wrote you about California and Peggy?
Hmm? What?
The woman in California.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking very seriously, Dad, of going out there to marry. Now, I know this is your home, where you're used to, but
I'd like you to come out there with me, Dad. It's lovely, as you said. And we could find an apartment for you near us.
Well, now, you know, I'd like to make a suggestion. Why don't you all come here to live?
Peggy has a practice out there.
What?
She's a doctor, I told you. And children with schools and friends.
We have a big house here. You always like this house. It's wonderful for children.
Yes. Dad, I'd like to get away from this part of the country for a while. I mean, it's been rough here for me ever since Carol died. And it would be good for you, too, getting away.
Your mother would be very happy to have this house full of children again. I won't be around long, and then it'll all be yours.
That's very kind of you, Dad. But besides her work and the children, all Peggy's family is out there.
Your family's here.
Yes, I know.
Just me, of course.
You see, the children's father is out there, and they're very fond of him, and they see him a lot.
Divorced?
Yes.
You know, Gene, I'm only saying this for your own good. But you went out there very soon after Carol's death, and you were exhausted from her long illness and, well, naturally, very susceptible. I was wondering if you really waited long enough to know your own mind.
I know my own mind.
I mean, taking on another man's children. You know, children are far from the blessing they're supposed to be.
I happen to love Peggy.
Did you mention this business of California to your mother?
She mentioned it to me. She told me to go ahead with her blessings.
Yes, she would say that, of course, but I warned you.
For God's sake.
All right, go ahead. I can manage. Send me a Christmas card if you remember.
Oh, Dad.
What?
I've asked you to come with me.
And I've told you I'm not going.
I understand that, but not to send me a Christmas card if you remember.
I'm very sorry if I offended you. Your mother always said I mustn't raise my voice to you. Did you want me to make it easy for you the way your mother did? Well, I won't. If you want to go, go!
God damn it.
I always known it would come to this when your mother was gone. I was tolerated around this house because I paid the bills.
Shut up.
Don't you tell me.
I said shut up. I've asked you to come with me. What do you want? What the hell do you want? If I lived here the rest of my life, it wouldn't be enough for you. I've tried, God damn it, I've tried to be the dutiful son. Commanded into your presence on every conceivable occasion. Easter, Christmas, birthdays, Thanksgiving. Even that Thanksgiving when Carol was dying and I was staying with her in the hospital. We miss you so, or our day is nothing without you. You had no regard for what was really going on. My wife was dying.
Is it so terrible to want to see your own son?
It is terrible to want to possess him entirely and completely.
There'll be some papers to sign for your mother's estate. Be sure to leave an address where my lawyer can get...
Dad.
From now on, you can consider me dead. I gave you everything since I was a snot-nosed kid. I've worked my fingers to the bone. You've had everything, and I've had nothing. I put a roof over your head, clothes on your back...
Food on the table.
Things I never had.
I know.
You ungrateful bastard.
What do you want for gratitude? Nothing. Nothing would ever be enough. You have resented everything you ever gave me. The orphan boy has resented everything. I'm sorry as hell about your miserable childhood. When I was a kid and you told me those stories, I used to go up to my room at night and cry. But there is nothing I can do about it. And it does not excuse everything. I am grateful to you. I also admire you and I respect you. And I stand in awe of what you have done with your life. I will never be able to touch it. But it does not make me love you. And I wanted to love you.
Oh.
You hated your father. You hated him so, and I saw what it did to you. And I did not want to hate you.
I don't care what you feel about me.
I do. I came so close to loving you tonight. I'd never felt so open to you. You don't know what it cost me to have... Well, to come in here and ask you to come with me when I have never been able to sit in a room alone with you. Did you really think your door was always open to me?
It was not my fault you never came in.
Goodbye, Dad. I'll arrange for someone to come in.
I don't want anyone to come in. I can take care of myself. I've always had to take care of myself. Who needs you? Out! I've lived each day of my life so that I can look any man in the eye and tell him to go to hell.
I took the first right and the second left. And this time I went as far as California. Peggy and I visited him once or twice. And then he came to California to visit us. And had a fever and swollen ankles. And we put him in a hospital. And he never left. The reason we gave in which he could accept for not leaving, the swollen ankles. But the real reason, the arteries were hardening. And he gradually, over several years, slipped into complete and speechless senility, with all his life centered in his burning eyes. When I would visit him and we would sit and look at each other, his eyes would mist over and his nostrils would pinch with emotion. But I could never learn what the emotion was. Anger or regret or love. One day, sitting in his wheelchair and staring without comprehension at television, he died alone, without even an orange in his hand. Death ends a life, but it does not end a relationship, which struggles on in the survivor's mind towards some resolution, which it never finds. Alice said I would not accept the sadness of this world. What did it matter if I never loved him or if he never loved me? Perhaps she was right. But when I hear the word father, it matters. Never Sang for My Father by Robert Anderson. Melvin Douglas played Tom. Teresa Wright played Alice. Kevin Conway was Jean. And Dorothy Stickney was heard as Margaret. Others in the cast were Patrick Hines and Anne McDonough. The play was directed by Daniel Freudenberger and engineered by Marv Nunn. The music was composed by Herb Pilhofer. I Never Sang for My Father was recorded in New York by Earplay, the Radio Drama Production Center for Public Broadcasting.
Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.